Boeing to propose a stopgap battery repair. Airbus moves to Plan B for its A350 XWB batteries. And introducing the Renegade Carbon Pits LSA. This is Aero News for Tuesday, February the 19th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Boeing thinks it has a short-term solution to the battery problems that have grounded the entire fleet of Dreamliners for more than a month, and hopes to be able to propose a stopgap fix to regulators as early as this week. The solution the plane maker will reportedly put forward would encase the suspect battery packs in a steel or titanium containment box with a venting system that would carry any gases, in the event of a battery fire, directly out of the airplane. But Boeing admits that it has not yet identified the root cause of the fires. The Seattle Times reports that without that knowledge, Boeing is unable to craft a permanent solution to the problem, and the FAA has not said if the interim fix is acceptable. One government official who spoke on the condition of anonymity said that he would not be surprised if it were several weeks before, quote, everyone is comfortable, end quote, and the plane maker is allowed to proceed. Once that comfort level is reached, it could be nearly another month before Boeing is able to design, engineer, and test the containment, according to a company source. But Boeing is not ready to give up on the lithium-ion batteries that have been identified as the problem. Spokesman Mark Bertel told the paper that, quote, good progress is being made, end quote, and that the company is, again quoting, confident in the safety and reliability of lithium-ion batteries, end quote. While saying it is confident that the lithium-ion main battery architecture it's been developing and qualifying for the A350 XWB aircraft is robust and safe, there will not be any of the batteries aboard the airplanes when it enters service, according to Airbus. In a news release, Airbus said that the A350 XWB flight test program will continue as planned with the qualified lithium-ion main batteries, but since the root cause of the Boeing battery issue remains a mystery, Airbus has decided to activate its Plan B, and therefore to revert back to the proven and mastered nickel-cadmium batteries for its A350 XWB program at entry into service. Airbus considers this to be the most appropriate way forward in the interest of program execution and the A350 XWB's reliability. Just a week after announcing their move to a new 70,000-square-foot facility at the St. Lucie County Airport in Fort Pierce, Florida, Renegade Light Sport Aircraft said that it's getting set to manufacture the first Renegade Carbon Pits LS-1 and LS-2 aircraft. Renegade has elected to end their partnership with the FK-12 European product and has decided to build an all-U.S.-manufactured airframe with Renegade's well-known expertise with the Lycoming LSA engine configuration. The LS-1 will be a light sport-compliant single, and the LS-2 a two-seat, fully aerobatic LSA aircraft. Philip Wyatt, director of marketing for Renegade, commented, quote, this is yet another bold move to bring a 100% American-made Lycoming-powered aircraft to the LSA market, end quote. The Carbon Pits LSA will be revised into a fabric-over-carbon fiber construction and will be powered by the Lycoming AE-IO-233 fuel-injected, fully aerobatic, electronic ignition engine. Renegade plans to bring the Carbon Pits line into conformity with the ASTM F-37 standards by the spring of 2013. The FAA has approved the Fly This Sim Touch Trainer Flight Simulator as a basic aviation training device for Diamond DA-20, DA-40, and DA-42 aircraft. The DA-20 simulation has twin GNS-430 simulations and an analog instrumentation, while the DA-40 and 42 have the G-1000 avionics simulated. Touch trainers use touchscreen technology for many of the controls and avionics, which provide unmatched versatility in the simulation of different aircraft and configurations. In one turnkey package, a touch trainer provides accurate simulation of performance, systems, and avionics, enabling aircraft-specific instrument and procedure training for both students and experienced pilots. The FAA approval means that the time flying the touch trainer can be logged toward a private or instrument rating and or toward maintaining instrument currency. Well, how do you make an airplane with a longer wingspan acceptable to airports for which it is currently approved? One answer might be to make the airplane with folding wingtips, which is reportedly just what Boeing is considering for its updated version of the 777. The new model, currently called the 777X, would have an increased wingspan in an effort to boost fuel efficiency. By allowing the wingtips to fold, the aircraft would be able to operate at airports currently served by the 777. Reuters reports that Boeing's president of marketing for commercial airplanes, Randy Tenseth, said at a recent aerospace conference in Seattle that the 777X is on schedule for deliveries to begin in 2020, but would not confirm the inclusion of the folding wingtips. Tenseth said that the company's prime focus now is on getting the Dreamliner back into service. It was not clear how issues with the 787 might affect the 777X program or whether airlines would embrace the level of complexity that a folding wingtip feature might bring to the new airliner. When Aero News continues, a presidential TFR in Florida snares three. The dig is up in Myanmar. And got milk?
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, the 19th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A visit by President Barack Obama to Port St. Lucie, Florida over the weekend resulted in three general aviation airplanes having encounters with NORAD F-16 fighter jets after they strayed into the restricted area around a resort where the president was staying. The president was in Florida to play golf over the weekend. Some media sources report that he was joined by Tiger Woods for a round on Sunday, but three general aviation pilots were not quite so lucky. At 11:55 Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, a Cessna 152 was intercepted by an F-16 and a Coast Guard Hilo. Following the intercept, the aircraft landed at a nearby airport where it was met by local law enforcement. Later on Saturday, NORAD said that a Lancair 320 had been greeted by the fighters. At approximately 5:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, two F-16s intercepted a Lancair 320 that was not in communication with air controllers. Following the intercept, that aircraft was escorted out of the TFR but allowed to continue on. The third airplane was also a Cessna. A posting on the Facebook page for the 601st Air and Space Operations Center, known as America's AOC, indicates that at approximately 9:30 on Sunday morning, an F-16 intercepted a Cessna 206 near Lake Okeechobee, Florida. Following the intercept, that aircraft left the TFR and landed at a nearby field. The pilot of that plane was also reportedly interviewed by authorities. Well, we've said it before, we'll say it again. Remember, check those NOTAMs. The Belarusian video gaming company that was backing the search in Myanmar for as many as 140 Supermarine Spitfires thought to be buried in crates as World War II was drawing to a close, has pulled its financial backing from the project. In a statement released to the media, Wargaming.net said that, quote, "The Wargaming team now believes, based on clear documentary evidence, as well as the evidence from the field work, that no Spitfires were delivered in crates and buried," end quote, adding that according to archival records, 37 aircraft in crates were shipped to the country, but none of the crates contained Spitfires, and most appear to have been re-exported. The company also said it believes that very poor weather at the time the crates were thought to have been buried, as well as a shortage of heavy equipment, would have made such an effort almost impossible. But the local partners in Myanmar don't plan to give up the search. A retired Myanmar geology professor, who has been helping in the efforts, also remains convinced that the planes are there. So Thine said he is, quote, "very confident," end quote, that the planes are buried at both sites currently being excavated by the team. Well, most of us know that yesterday was President's Day, the day the government sets aside to honor the birthdays of Presidents George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. But in the dairy industry, it was also noted as the anniversary of the first time that a cow was milked on board an airplane. No, I'm serious. The Dairy Farmers of America note on their website that on February 18, 1931, a cow named Elm Farm Ollie became not only the first cow to fly on an airplane, but, quote, during the flight she was milked and the milk was sealed in paper containers and parachuted over St. Louis, Missouri, end quote. An article in Wikipedia puts the date in 1930, which is corroborated by other sources, including a 1998 article in the Massachusetts newspaper South Coast Today, and indicates that the event was part of the International Air Exposition in St. Louis. The article cites a St. Louis newspaper of the time, which reported that the flight was aboard a Ford trimotor that covered 72 miles from Bismarck, Missouri, to St. Louis. The St. Louis paper reported at the time that the flight was in part for, quote, research, end quote, into how livestock would react at being transported by air, but that there was also a promotional aspect to the flight. Isn't there always? Charles Lindbergh was reportedly among those attending the Air Expo and drank a glass of the milk given by Elm Farm Ollie in flight. Which leads us to wonder if the famous aviator will ever show up as part of one of those Got Milk campaigns? And I'm not entirely sure, but doesn't that remind you a little bit about the WKRP episode with the turkeys that were thrown overboard? Think about it. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.